Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Time now, we're going to hop on over to the fan hotline. We're going to bring in a super friend to the show. You know him and love him. He is Tom Withers. It's not news until Tom Withers says so. Hello, Tom. How are you?
This is like the old days. I'm sitting in the bleachers in Berea watching the Browns and on the radio with you guys. I feel like it's yesteryear.
It is. It's you're going back in time. Maybe you're walking backwards on the treadmill.
Yeah, how are you guys?
We are good.
Well, buddy.
I know you're sitting at Browns right now, but I got to ask you about the Guardians right now. We're talking when Hammy ended the broadcast last night by saying they are on the verge of history here by becoming the first team to ever come back from 15 and a half back to win,
incredible,
to have a chance to win either the pennant or their division. I can't believe it. Just give me your general overall take on the Guardians right now, because this is a fantastic story.
It really is, you know, and it's been a kind of a slow burn here. I mean, we've all kind of watched this, you know, take place over the last 2 to 3 months. I think people have lost track of the fact that, you know, they're 41-23 since they had that 10-game slide, which is one of the first times that everybody, you know, buried them and threw dirt on them and they rose again. So, yeah, it's been an incredible story. I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I thought this team, based on last year, was good enough to, if not win the division, then certainly contend for a wild card, and that's what they're doing. I didn't think the path to 81 wins or whatever it is now would be what it is, and considering what they've had to go through and the resiliency they've shown, and just, I mean, even the resiliency in the last week, and when you think about the production they're getting from guys that we didn't even talk about, you know, 2 weeks ago, let alone 2 months ago, it really is a fabulous story. And obviously, you know, Ramirez and Kwan have set the tone. You know, they're finally getting guys at the bottom of the order to be productive. And you cannot say enough about this pitching staff, beginning with Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams, who over the last few starts have clearly shown that they're both capable of being the ace of this staff. And before we get too deep here, you got to give a lot of credit to Stephen Vogt for navigating this team through, you know, losing its all-star closer. Oh, by the way, arguably one of the, you know, the best closer in baseball, and one of their starting pitchers. And for them to still be in the thick of it and then some with a week to go in the season is just, it's borderline miraculous.
It has been amazing how exactly what you said, Stephen Vogt has kept this clubhouse together. And more than anything, this six-man rotation has turned into a game changer for them. I mean,
it really has.
I can't see Terry Francona doing that to save my soul. And Stephen Vogt was like, you know what? Let's do this. Six-man rotation. Joey Cantillo, come up here. Parker Messick, let's keep them all up here. And that way everyone's rested as we roll.
Well, that's a great point, Dan. And you know what? And it's not dissimilar. Well, it's comparable, but not exactly the same as to what A.J. Hinch did last year with Detroit with the pitching chaos, right? I mean, there's different ways to skin a cat. And Stephen has just found a way here to keep guys fresh. You know, he's been able to get, you know, 5 and 6 innings out of most of his starters, and this bullpen has been incredible. I mean, when you think about the fact that they're leaning on Matt Festa and Jacob Junis, and, you know, Allard comes out of the bullpen last night after not pitching in 2 weeks and gets 3 of the biggest outs of the season. You know, never mind, you know, Tim Herron coming back after, you know, an awful performance last week and striking out the side the other night. So, yeah, Vogt, you know, obviously with the help of Carl Willis, who is as good as there is in baseball, have done a magnificent job of keeping this pitching staff fresh. You know, guys have stepped up, which they needed to have happen once Cossey went down. You know, Cade Smith has had, you know, some rough moments, but he's been really good over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, you mix in your Hunter Gaddises and what have you here and there. But I'll go back to what I said earlier. to me, the way Bybee has stepped up here over his last three starts, and, you know, it's funny that it basically happened right after that little blow up in the dugout, which, again, Stephen Vogt handled very well, right? I mean, he told him, hey, not now, not here. I mean, you can be as frustrated as you want, but you don't do it here in front of your teammates, et cetera. And since then, like, it feels like Tanner Bybee has really kind of turned the page on that. And for him to go out yesterday and go pitch for pitch with Scoble for six innings was super impressive. I can't say enough about the kid.
Tom, I know it's just kind of looking into a crystal ball. I don't know if the – I look at it and I try to figure it out. What path do you think is easier, the wild card where you're 1.5 back or just trying
win,
to
baby.
Win the – yeah, I know. I know it's just win, but – yeah, not looking at the standings going, I wonder if there's a way to figure this out.
No, I'll be honest with you, Andy, I haven't. I think that's what they've adopted and really embraced in that clubhouse is that, hey, let's just go out today and win today, and the standings are going to shake out how they shake out. I mean, and the other thing that's crazy, guys, and I'm sure you've talked about this, is that the American League is wide open. I mean, when you think about who you consider to be the power teams in the American League, they've all had their struggles this year. I mean, the Tigers have come back to the pack, and they clearly play like a different team when they're playing the Guardians. You know, the Yankees have been up and down. The Red Sox are skidding right now. You know, it seems like the first place in the AL West changes on an almost daily basis. So it is completely wide open. This team has played essentially playoff baseball since the beginning of September. They're 13-4. They're playing their best ball right now, which is what you want to do as a team. And listen, I also think the front office deserves a lot of credit. Now, listen, we can criticize them for not doing more in the offseason, and I think that's legitimate. But they believed in this group. They believed in the chemistry. They believed in Vogt. They believed in what they had last year in a 92-70 team that got within a couple of wins of the World Series, and they stuck with it, and it's paid off. And so I think, you know, tip of the cap to them as well.
Tom Withers joining us, Associated Press Emeritus. You can now read him at brownzone.com as well, and, of course, hear him on 92.3 The Fan sporadically.
Yeah, there you go.
I get you covered, man. We got to get all the plugs in. You know, that's how this goes. The crazy thing too, Tom, and crazy is the wrong word, but probably the best thing that's also come out of this season has been Kyle Manzardo. How impressed are you with how he's been able to take a step forward?
Yeah, you know, it's been nice to see him in the lineup on a more regular basis, right? You know, I thought it was tough the other night, though. He strikes out twice, I believe, with the bases loaded when they were in spots where they needed somebody to come through. And fortunately, you know, Bo Naylor comes through with that double late in the game to pick up some insurance runs. But Manzardo's been great. I mean, he's been, you know, he's not hitting to the average that I think he's capable of. But, you know, he gives them that pop. He gives them that pop in the lineup that's been sorely missed. You know, I think another thing, in addition to Manzardo, you know, they get a big home run out of Big Christmas yesterday, who's basically done damn near nothing all year, but he comes up in a huge spot. And then I think the way David Fry has kind of been able to kind of find a little bit of a groove, I think people have underestimated the fact that he had, you know, coming off the elbow surgery, no spring training, you know, intermittent at bats at best. But again, I'll go back to Stephen Vogt and his belief in his guys and his trust in his guys and his, you know, sticking with guys when they're going bad, sticking with Rocchio when he's going bad, sticking with Arias when, you know, he looks like he's going to strike out every other at bat. So in addition to Manzardo, I just think the contributions from all those role players has just been instrumental in them doing what they're doing right now.
All right, Tom, last question on baseball. Are they, you think they make it or they don't? What do you think?
I think they make it. I think they sneak in. It feels like that's the story that's supposed to happen. I think they're going to sneak in as the last wild card. You know, it's been interesting. My son and I have been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. That as you get deeper into this year, teams have kind of eliminated themselves, right? They basically took the Royals out last week, right? And I think this weekend there could be a situation where maybe another one of the wild card teams drops down. It's going to be fascinating to scoreboard watch over the next few days, guys. And, you know, this is a huge – I mean, every game is huge, but – you know, four games in Minnesota. You know, the doubleheader tomorrow is really interesting. I think they're going to find a way, Andy. It just feels like that's what's supposed to happen with this team. That, you know, given all that they've been up against, that they're going to overcome it. And I've always said, you know, and obviously the Cavs took care of the drought, right? But I always felt that the team that was going to end the World Series drought for the Guardians was going to come out of nowhere. It wasn't going to be the predicted team that went, you know, that won 95 games and bludgeoned people. It's going to be the team that figures out a way to play its best ball when it matters most. And that's what this team is doing right now.
Huh. All right, my golden rule is I don't start scoreboard watching until after the Guardians game ends. That's been the rule my last 2 weeks. That's all. I'll keep doing that, too. All right, let's talk Browns here for a minute.
Sanity.
All right, you're sitting at Browns right now. How's everybody look? Is anybody actually standing in front of you, or are you watching grass grow?
Oh, well, we've been kicked out. So
okay.
Lasted only 10 minutes. Fridays are getting even worse. I tell you what, they are figuring out a way to really keep the media, completely at arm's length, if not more. I mean, it's gotten worse.
Is it
bad?
Like, why? Like, what are they trying to hide right now? I don't get it.
It's not necessarily hiding things. It's just the amount of access we have just becomes more and more limited. The locker room time has been shortened, much more difficult. And I prided myself on this when I was full time with the AP and trying to connect with guys and getting to know them a little bit. And that's really hard to do. You know, it's hard to sidle over to somebody and have a conversation anymore in the NFL with any of the players. You know, I'm lucky that I've run into a couple of them just out, you know, shopping at Crocker Park or whatever, where I can actually make a connection, because otherwise it's really hard to do. And the NFL is structured that way, you know, which is why, you know, covering baseball is such a joy, because there are 162 games and you do get a chance to kind of get to know these people on a more personal level. So, you know, I really couldn't see much out here. You know, they're basically stretching and going through the early parts of the workout. We're going to get Kevin Stefanski here at 1:00. We'll get an update, you know, hopefully on game status for Jack Conklin. Joel Bitonio has been rested this week with the back, which doesn't really alarm me, except that Joel is typically out there at least on Thursday and wasn't this week. So, you know, a couple things to keep an eye on in terms of injuries that we'll find out about in the next hour.
Tom, would you make a quarterback move, let's say, after this week, like a lot of people are, you know, fans are starting to kind of clamor for, or are you waiting a little bit farther down the road to make any kind of move at quarterback?
A lot of layers to that. I see where you're coming from, Dan. You know, I think it would depend a lot too on how the rest of the unit plays, right? I think Judkins showed a little bit last week. I think we're going to see some more of him on Sunday. You know, is the offensive line, you know, is it healthy? Is DeJuan Jones able to stay out there as your left tackle? You know, here's the other thing. This crazy guys, and I have to tell you, if they were 1-1, we would hardly even be having that conversation, would we?
Totally agree. They're one field goal or one safety away from not having this conversation.
The margin for error in this league is just incredible, and how razor thin it all is. And so, you know, Dan, I think I will say this. I did feel like after watching Flacco on Sunday, and listen, I think we also forget that they were up against, you know, arguably one of the five best teams in the NFL, and then obviously they're going to play one of the five best teams in the NFL on this Sunday. So there are no breaks in the schedule. And I think that's what everybody kind of pinned this on was, hey, the schedule's so tough over the first 6 weeks, you can't do that to a rookie quarterback. Well, you also can't do it to your locker room if you're putting a quarterback out there who is unable to, you know, give you any mobility or run the offense like you would hope it would work. So I think, Dan, it depends on how things look on Sunday. Like,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
I think it's closer than we thought in terms of making the switch. And I think also because of the way Gabriel has been able to, you know, handle everything they've thrown at him. And that's not to say that Shador hasn't as well. So I think there is a more of a comfort now in making that potential switch than there was a couple of weeks ago.
How do they beat the Packers? Like, what do they need to do here?
They beat them the same way I think that they tried to beat the Bengals, which is control the clock, hopefully make your field goals, hopefully get a play on special teams that's going to help you instead of hurt you. I mean, think about all the things that went wrong against Baltimore. And listen, I have no illusions that they were going to go down to Baltimore and win, but that was a more competitive game, I think, than people gave credit for. I mean, when you take into account the block punt, the return fumble, I mean, there were a couple plays, you know, disastrous plays that went against them. I think they win it by trying to be physical. I think, you know, if anybody watched the Miami game last night in Buffalo, nobody gave the Dolphins a chance. The Dolphins were in that game until the final whistle last night. I mean, they really, you know, they executed. They ran the ball. I think if the Browns can come out, run the ball a little bit, you know, get Flacco in positive situations instead of, you know, 3rd and 12 and 2nd and 9, they can hang around. And then, and listen, the NFL is the one league where you know, something shocks you every week. So I'm not saying the Browns are going to go out necessarily and win on Sunday, but I think they can play with them. I don't see any reason why they can't, especially given the way this defense has played over the first couple of weeks.
Every year, Tom, there is a game that you're supposed to lose that you win, and there's a game that you're supposed to win that you lose.
Yeah.
That's how I look at this. I can see the script as well of how to do this. Do you have any offensive line concerns? I know you brought up Joel Bitonio not being out there, but some of the play that you've seen out of DeJuan Jones or even Jack Conklin's injuries and the backups of coming in.
Yeah, small sample size, but yeah, I do, Dan, only because going into the season, I felt that very same way. I was like, okay, this is an experienced, we'll call it aged offensive line, right? And some terrific players, don't get me wrong. Your guards and your center are terrific players. Conklin, when healthy, is as good as it gets at right tackle, in my mind, at least in the AFC. And Jones is a project, and he's continuing to be a project. You know, I've been worried about their depth there, and I really feel like they haven't done a great job in the last couple of years of you know, filling in the gaps below them. I know they took Zach Zinter last year. He hasn't had a lot of playing time, so it's really hard to make an assessment on him. But, yeah, I am concerned about the offensive line, especially when you have a 40-year-old quarterback who's got limited mobility behind it. And so, it is a concern, and it will be going forward until they fix it.
Thing that's impressed you the most outside of Myles Garrett about the Browns?
To this point?
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that's been maybe underplayed, and I get it, has been the contributions of these rookies. I mentioned Judkins before, and we've only seen him once, right?
Right.
Samson had a nice opener. I think Mason Graham is showing that he is a legitimate pick. Can't say enough about Carson Schlesinger and being thrown into the middle linebacking role as a rookie and having to contribute and showing no signs of being a rookie to this point, right? I mean, I think he's played really well. So I think this draft class has impressed me to this point. And I think the play, obviously, along with Myles Garrett, and obviously he ties into this, the defensive line is really good, Andy. The defensive line has a chance to keep them in ball games. You know, you just got to worry about, you know, obviously health and obviously just, you know, wearing down in games, depending on who you're playing and how long they possess the ball, things like that. So those have been the things that have stood out to me so far. There hasn't been a lot. I mean, again, one-on-one, we're having a different conversation. And I thought there were so many positives in that week one loss that got swept under the rug only because they lost the game. So I still think there's some things to hold on to. I know people have, there's no illusions that this team is going to the playoffs by any means, but I think there's a chance for them to be competitive and then some going forward.
Tom Withers, as always, it's not news until Tom Withers says so. Thank you so much, my friend. How are you? And everything is good. I should say it's good to talk to you, and I always appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Love talking to you guys. Take care. Have a good one.
There, talk soon.
Take care.
We'll see you.
Thanks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.